Lowe's helps refresh your garden in time for Mother's Day. Right now, get 5 bags of 1.5 cubic foot Scotts Naturescapes mulch for just $10. Plus, select 1.5 gallon annuals hanging baskets make the perfect gift. Now 2 for only $15. The best garden starts with great deals. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/7. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase.
McCrispy strips are now at McDonald's. Tender, juicy, and its own sauce. Would you look at that? Well, you can't see it, but trust me, it looks delicious. New McCrispy strips, now at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.
Now, organised by Sounds Foundation Ireland, Science Week is back in action this month with in-person and virtual events designed to get people thinking all around the country. It runs from the 13th of this month to the 20th, and the theme this year is that of infinite possibilities. You can check out everything that's happening in person and online at sfi.ie. And I'm joined by Science Foundation's Director General, Philip Nolan. Philip, good morning and welcome.
Morning, Pat.
Now, first of all, new job for you.
Absolutely.
You were in Maynooth, you served in Neffet, and now Science Foundation Ireland.
Yeah, and it's a really exciting role, and this coming week is a particularly exciting week in the life of science in Ireland. And as you've just done, I'd really like to point everybody to our Science Week, one word, scienceweek.ie. And in that, you'll see a huge array of events right across the country, which is an ongoing conversation that we're having with the public about the power of science. And that's where the infinite possibilities tagline comes from. The possibilities of science for people are infinite. We've had a great conversation with people over the course of the last 2 years about the future of science in Ireland. And this continues that conversation.
Now, infinite possibilities is so infinite, it's hard to get a handle on it. So maybe you could tell us about some of the specific events that are embraced by that title.
Exactly. So, I mean, first of all, this is more show and talk rather than show and tell. So we want to show people what science is about and then engage them in the conversation. So, for instance, we've got 19 regional events. The Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland are running an event on inequality in women's health. We're working with Chagas, the state agricultural research agency, in a festival of farming. There's an event in Achill around called the Food and Science Circus by the Sea. And you can see a theme emerging here, something that's of core concern to people about sustainable food systems and how are we going to live well within our planetary boundaries into the future.
Yeah, it's interesting that I saw it, I think it was in this morning's Independent, but it was talking about the mythology that we're peddling, if I can find it here, I will, about our sustainable farm. Here it is on page 13 of the Indo. It turns out Ireland's boasts over its benign sustainable farming may be a lot of hot air.
Well,
Catherine Conlon wrote that. Public health doctor in Cork, former director of human health and nutrition at Safe Food.
I think on the one hand, people are right to be concerned that that really important sector of our society and our economy does what it needs to do in order to meet our climate targets by 2030 and 2050. What Science Foundation Ireland, what scientists are offering are what are the sustainable technological solutions? Just to take that classic example, I mean, we sponsor a project called Farm Zero C. It's a research challenge. It's how can we work in an engaged manner with the farming community to understand how we bring about significant reductions in greenhouse gas emissions and move to sustainable farming.
One of the issues is obviously the amount of stuff that they belch out rather than fart out. I'm told the belching is the real problem. And in Trinity College, they were doing some research using seaweed as an additive to the food, which reduced the greenhouse gases. Because in other countries where cattle are by and large indoors, they can trap the emissions from the front or backside of the animal, but they can't do that when they're out in the open air.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is there are sustainable technological solutions to these. Some of them we understand and some of them have yet to be discovered. So the first thing we need is fundamental research about what are the underlying processes that translate from the plant product through the animal to these greenhouse gas emissions. How can we mitigate them? How can we prevent them? How can we change them? And there's ongoing work at the moment with changing the grassland looking at the genetics of the cattle, looking at other technological solutions. So that's just one of the areas which what our interest is in engaging citizens and having people come into these events, understand what we're trying to do and talk to us about it and engage with us in what our research
should be about. It's a rather complex equation though, isn't it? Because if, for example, we cut down on our cattle herd because of, you know, the emissions, meantime, across the world in South America, they're knocking down the rainforest to put cattle on it.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of carbon that can be sequestered in an acre of rainforest would be enormous. And it's replaced by grassland to grow cattle that are belching and farting.
Sure. Well, so this is why we have to think about sustainable food systems. We have to think about this not only as a local national ecosystem, but we think of a global ecosystem. And there is an obligation on us as a developed nation with very sophisticated science and technology base, with a global reach in our science and technology base, to show leadership, to be working here in an advanced economy on solutions that are translatable worldwide, and equally then to show, as well as scientific leadership, political leadership in driving those solutions globally.
Yeah. I mean, you get no credit for having grass-fed, open-air, healthy beef compared to shed-reared, nut-fed beef.
Well, I think you do. I think people and consumers, we've had a great...
No, but in the great green debate, you don't.
Well, I think you do. And I think increasingly people worldwide are becoming sophisticated about, as I say, how do we live sustainably within our planetary boundaries? And we had a fantastic initiative over the last 2 years called Creating Our Future, where we asked people, what did they want from research? And that's what they wanted.
Yeah,
they wanted us to be working hard and thinking about living within our planetary boundaries. They're concerned about sustainability and digital transition. Mm-hmm. They're concerned about proximate things as well, like mental health and infectious disease, given what we've just been through. And they're really concerned. People are curious about themselves as humans, about the planet, about the universe.
Everyone's looking, though, for quick solutions, you know, and the electric car might be seen as a good solution, but then you start looking at lithium and mining and all the rest of it, and then the disposal or recycling of all those components. You know, the idea that you get a pot of paint and paint your stucco wall, your plaster wall, and that generates electricity. Yeah. That technology is there, but I'm not sure how realistic it is. Well, but everyone would love that.
Well, it's a classic cliche to say, I'm glad you asked me that question. But we do. We have colleagues in Limerick, and I went down to visit them to look at what they were doing. And they were producing better batteries based on the technology you're talking about, lithium and so on. But of course, the thing they're really interested in, the curiosity driven thing, is just above in the periodic table, you've got sodium and potassium. So much more common elements, but the chemistry of turning those into batteries, as you know from your background, is really, really hard.
But they've already got silicon dioxide batteries. Silicon, literally, and it's a pun and I use it again and again, cheapest chips.
Yeah.
So, you know, when that technology is mature.
Yeah, exactly. And we're getting there fast. And let people think about the life cycle of technology in the modern age, how quickly we got from like old school mobile phones to mini computers in our hands within a generation. You know, how quickly we got from a novel virus to a new vaccine, 370 days. So technology does move really fast, and that's where we get this.
So we've got farming. We've obviously got these sustainable technologies. What else are you proposing in Science Week?
So we're going to explore all of these areas. But as I say, the key things that are on people's minds are proximate issues. First of all, things like mental health, infectious diseases, the big issues, sustainability and digital transition. But I do want to bring you back to the fact that people also really value the straightforward curiosity about how we and the world and the universe works. And that's very wise, because I think, as we both know, and as people clearly also know, that's where we get the unanticipated discoveries, the big breakthroughs.
You're talking about fundamental research.
Absolutely.
Rather than applied research.
We need both, and we need a really good balance between both. And that's what people are interested in. It was a really interesting feedback from people. And what I want to urge them to do is look at scienceweek.ie. They'll find something of real interest to them, engage with us and help us build a conversation.
There's still the idea that science is impenetrable for many people. I don't have a scientific turn of mind. I like languages. I like music. I like art. don't get science at all. What do you say to people who believe that about themselves?
Exactly. Lord Kelvin once said, I can never understand anything until I make a mechanical model of it. Science is also very practical, very hands-on. Many of us have to think in really concrete terms about how science works. So that's a real call to action here, to get involved, see how we do it, and you'll find that it is accessible and interesting and exciting.
Now I'm sure you anticipated I would ask you about NEFIT and about some of the problems, because on this program we were pushing masks, pushing antigen tests, and NEFIT set its head against them for quite a long, long time before those really valuable tools were implemented. Do you regret all that delay?
I think the important thing to do here is, I mean, first of all, let's think about the circumstances that we were operating on. This is a novel virus. We were dealing with incomplete information. Science is frequently uncertain, and it's important for scientists in putting together what they think the case is to also be quite humble about what their data is showing at a particular point in time. And in that context, we had to formulate advice. So yes, you could look back and say, what are the lessons learned? You know,
we were saying on this program, and I make no apology for it, that if they had used antigen tests, and we were saying it contemporaneously, before people were allowed into a nursing home, be they a visitor or a worker, that they should have an antigen test, which would show that they were infectious at that moment or not.
Yeah, but we had
they might have the virus, but if they're not infectious, you know, the danger is minimized. And yet, NEFIT kind of couldn't get that.
Well, you know, I think it's important to look at the timeline there. I mean, we had serial PCR testing in nursing homes within about 10 weeks of the onset of the pandemic. So I think it's really important to look. You're dealing with things in real time when you're going through them, and then you can look back with hindsight and say, maybe we could have done things differently. And you could say, look, you know, in the next pandemic, we'll have learned the lesson of, you know, maybe introducing masks earlier, the value of testing, ventilation, and so on. However, the next pandemic might well be with the virus that transmits differently again.
Sure, it might be respiratory, it might be...
Exactly. So I think the really big lesson that we need to learn is how do we do rapid response trials of public health interventions? How can we, in a matter of weeks, test whether your
air... But do we always need to do it at home here? Because even yesterday we were talking about long COVID on the program with Professor Jack Lambert, and it seems the HSE want to do their own analysis, even though there's this analysis from Cork University and the previous analysis by Jack Lambert. You know, you don't really have to reinvent the wheel every time. And all this information, I mean, Luke O'Neill was giving it on our program, and a lot of people have thanked him very publicly and privately for literally saving their skins at a time when NEFIT wasn't giving that advice.
Yeah, I mean, one of the issues around synthesizing the most likely reality from scientific studies is every scientific study has an approach and it has flaws. So normally you need several studies using several different approaches and synthesize them together to say this is our best estimate of what's actually going on. There's rarely one experiment or one study that says we've done this and now we understand exactly what's going on and exactly how to intervene. So in almost all forms of healthcare and medicine, you need multiple trials to draw a valid conclusion.
Yeah, but would you do it differently now? Would you do it more quickly, masking and so on?
If we had precisely the same virus or a very similar virus hit us again in the near future, then obviously there are lessons that we can learn, because you always have that challenge of you're working in real time with incomplete information, and then later you can look back and say, if I knew all this back then, would we have acted differently? I think the big thing, though, is to be prepared for something that behaves differently and to make sure that we have all of the apparatus in place to react even quicker than we did the last time.
Now, a reminder once again that Science Week is taking place from the 13th of this month to the 20th. Events running right across the country, both in person and online. And the website again?
Scienceweek.ie. Scienceweek, one word, .ie.
Scienceweek.ie. Professor Philip Nolan, Director General of Science Foundation Ireland, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
McCrispy strips are now at McDonald's. Tender, juicy, and its own sauce. Would you look at that? Well, you can't see it, but trust me, it looks delicious. New McCrispy strips, now at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.